Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 11, which can be found on page 691 of the Pew Bible. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the favor of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Because their shame was double, and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot. Therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. These are the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the same Spirit of the Lord God that was upon Jesus Christ in reading this text, may that same Holy Spirit be present here in helping us to hear what you say to us, to help us to understand it, to help us to know it and live it, that we might be a people, especially this year, who live the favorable year of the Lord with rejoicing and exultation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were ever wondering what kind of sermon Jesus would preach, this would be it. When we heard last month of Jesus getting up in the synagogue of his hometown of Nazareth and publicly proclaiming the good news of God, it was this text that he actually read, Isaiah 61. This was actually the public debut of our Lord, the first time that he spoke and ministered among a group of people. And of any text that Jesus Christ himself, the very word of the Lord, could speak on, he chose this one. This is what he wanted the world to hear. This is what he wanted you and me to hear in this place today. You want to know the affections of Jesus Christ? Well, he's told them to us publicly. Want to know the deep and hidden meaning of his life and death and resurrection? Want to know the truth of Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Want to know what the mysteries are that the bread and the cup proclaim that we will consume this morning? Then listen to what he has spoken, Isaiah 61. And what does Isaiah 61 say? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, calling them oaks of righteousness planted by the Lord so that they might glorify him. Isaiah 61 was nothing less than the gospel announcement that the world has longed for and what Jesus was and is in its proclaimer. It's an announcement that the jubilee that Leviticus 25 spoke about is underway. Good tidings to the poor, the binding up of the brokenhearted, liberty to the captives and release of prisoners. Those are all activities that were prescribed to take place once every 50 years during Israel during their jubilee celebrations. It's as if a big reset button was pushed and life was to begin all over again as God intended. Jubilee was the favorable year of the Lord. Today, Oxford Presbyterian Church enters into its fourth 50th year. I had to explain that to somebody about five different times so that they got it. Our fourth 50th year, meaning that, okay, we're in the 200th year. Our 200th year together as a congregation of Jesus Christ. And it's no coincidence that on this day we're hearing from Isaiah in light of that fact. This is a year to be reminded once again of the favorable year of the Lord, that it does not come and go like it did in ancient Israel, but it's permanent because of Jesus Christ. The favorable year of the Lord is here not because life seems to be working itself out for the better for every single last one of us, but it's here because Jesus announced it and inaugurated it 2,000 years ago. The way to honor being a church that's been around for 200 years is to live the Lord's favor. To live like your wounds have been bound up. To live as though good tidings have been preached to you in your poverty. To live as though you have freedom and release from whatever imprisoned you. Now, it's easy to hear words like this when life is going well. But the original prophet that spoke these words spoke them at a time when things were not going well for Israel at all. Not a happy time in their history. Israel, we all know, they were the chosen people of God. Those people that were lifted out of slavery from Egypt in a deliverance by God that set them free to go inhabit a land promised to them where they could live out that freedom. Where they could be what God had intended human beings to be. The only problem was, Israel was never very good at living out its freedom. Question we have to ask ourselves, how good are we at living out our freedom? Or do we obey other forces? Israel so often forgot that what God had done for them was to make them different, in the same way that you and I are different. A different sort of people, a different kind of society. But Israel, perhaps like many of us, really wanted to live like the world around them, wanted to live like the nations that were on each side of them. They wanted to be able to live power politics, live lives of decadence, being rich. A nation that favored the strong and penalized the weak. In such a world, widows and orphans, those who have forces that are beyond their control, those people tend to lose out. People that are not well socially located, when there's a natural disaster or something happens in our lives, perhaps we lose a job or perhaps a marriage falls apart. Who knows? Those are the people that are vulnerable in such a world. So when you fail to be the people that God wants you to be, this is what Israel found out, what does God do? God's not going to stand for the status quo, and so he took Israel out of their land and put them into exile. First, the northern 10 tribes of Israel were taken away by the Assyrians, and then the two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin were taken away into Babylon in exile. Away from the land that symbolized God's favor and blessing. Yeah. Israel was and has been where many of you and I have been and are. And so therefore they sang, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? It's what the psalmist cried out in Psalm 137, amid those towers of Babylon that made Jerusalem look like a cow town. Everything about life was just increasing the insult and injury. Israel in exile saying, man, if only we would have listened, if only we would have obeyed, if only we would have trusted what God had done for us. Ever been in that place in your life where you simply can't sing? If you do, then you know where Israel was at. And you might know that these words of Isaiah 61 are for you. It's in that place when things are most desperate, in that place when the mood is depressive, that the prophet spoke these words. And it's not for nothing that the prophet begins by speaking to those people that are the very bottom of society. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, the mourners, those who have next to no power of their own and struggle to advocate for themselves, and those who have put themselves out of society by their choices or been put out of society by rejections of others, they're the ones who get to hear this Jubilee announcement first. They're the ones who are perhaps most ready for it and the ones who are most longing for it, that God will do something. The ones who are desperate for good news. Well, that is what Isaiah 61 is. Good news of such a staggering event that the prophet's response was this: I will rejoice in the Lord. My whole being will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with this garment called salvation. I know it's October, but already those stores are starting to put Christmas stuff on the shelves. And that's only 2 months away, so I will talk about Mary when she begins singing her song, the Magnificat, to Elizabeth, because she is the one who is going to bring forth the Messiah from her womb. What song is it that she sings? Isaiah 61. The Savior of the world being birthed can only be described by these lyrics. Mary knew that Jubilee was coming. And now it's here. Everything that Isaiah 61, where the prophet is alluded to here in our passage, has indeed, it's happened. It's come to pass in Jesus Christ. It's not out there in some future, some sort of utopia, where we're all going to have robots that vacuum for us and cook for us, where we have lives of leisure all the time, where somehow we figured out the weather and we know how to stop hurricanes and we figured out the geology and we know how to stop earthquakes and we figured ourselves out so we know how to not sin and hurt one another's feelings. That the nations figure out how to not shoot at one another. No. It's this future that actually started 2,000 years ago. It's our 200th year. It's our 450th. And I ask you this question. Will you let yourselves rejoice? Will you let yourselves exult? Will you give yourselves permission to live the reality that God has given you in these words, in the person of Jesus Christ? And in so doing, will you also let yourselves make the announcement that same lowly population that Jesus made the announcement to, that your Savior and our Savior indeed has come, will you make that announcement to them as well? Because those people are dying to hear it. Many people in Puerto Rico right now are wondering, hey, does the world know that there's some of us that are dying? People who rejoice and exult are not afraid to open their eyes to those people's need. That could be you and me. That's just one example. Our 200th year provides us with the opportunity to hold up this passage that we've heard read to us here this morning and say, do we believe it? And if you do, the first order of business for you and for me is to rejoice and to exult. May we do that. Amen.